Okay, Father, we just want to thank you for your presence right now. We ask that you'd open up the realms of heaven to us, give us revelation of your plans, your purposes. God, just bring us into that place where we know who we are as your children, your identity as sons, our authority in the heavenly realms, to bring your kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, to release that generation of people who will bring others into to inherit the promised land. Lord, we just ask you to give us that revelation this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look, we've been looking at this prophetic timetable for quite a long time now. And we are looking at this bit here, releasing a Joshua generation. So this is part two. So I did 20 characteristics of the Joshua generation last week. For those of you who weren't here, get the MP3. But just looking at the Moses generation, 1 Corinthians 10, all these scriptures here talks about the Moses generation and the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land as a pattern of an example for us to follow. So it talks about there that, as the end of verse 6 says, all these things happen as examples for us. So we need to learn from their mistakes and also learn from the principles in which they gleaned from the revelation that Moses brought, who went into the cloud onto the mountain and brought that revelation back to the children of Israel. Of course, they were all invited to go to the mountain, but only some of them went. 70 elders went, Joshua went, but they then said, "You go, Moses." That was an old covenant pattern of one person being a mediator between God and man. Of course, we all have access to the heavenly realms now because they're open. The veil of Jesus' flesh has opened up to us access into the heavenly realms so we can experience everything of God's promises to us. In 1 Corinthians 10 there, verse 11, it says, "These things happened for them as an example. They were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come." So right now we're in that place where God is out working his purposes, and the ends of the ages have come, and we need the revelation to engage everything in the heavenly realms to bring it into the earthly realm. So the Joshua generation, in Moses' generation, failed to receive their inheritance, and they died in the wilderness because they didn't cross over because of what they had to face. Giants. Joshua generation are going to be raised up to equip, I believe, a billion-fold harvest of laborers in the realms of the supernatural to bring heaven to earth. And that billion will be spread right throughout the earth. And that is just the harvesters, the laborers for the end time harvest. There's going to need to be a lot of them, because the battle is going to be more and more intense as light comes into darkness and challenges darkness and overcomes it. The Jesus generation is the generation who will see Jesus return, who will bring in that final harvest. And some people here are from that Jesus generation. Some of you from the Joshua generation. Hope none of you are here from the Moses generation, because I do not want you to fail and stay in the wilderness. You come into the fullness of the promises of God. Joshua generation will be forerunners who have spied out the land. Now, the promised land, the realm of authority and power, is not just talking about earthly things. It's talking about heavenly things, because the land represents the fullness of the kingdom. And the kingdom is not just on earth, but in heaven. So we have to be forerunners who spy out both the realms of earth and the realms of the heavens. And there's lots of realms of the heavens that we need to spy out. We need to have experiences of government and ruling. The kingdom of God is about government and about rulership. So God would want us to be ruling in our own lives, and our lives ruling in the realms of the Spirit to bring heaven to earth. That's a thing that we need to understand. Now, we have to learn how to lead and equip that next generation to possess. And the word possess in Hebrew means to inherit by seizing, dispossessing, and becoming heirs of the land of promise. And that is not just here, but it's the heavenly realms that we've got access to. because we were made a spirit. Spirit being to have access to the spiritual realm. When Adam was first made, he actually had access to the heavenly realms. He could go into all the realms of heaven. There was nothing to stop him there, because he was a spirit being who had access. When Adam sinned, he gave up that access, and what was on the outside of him inverted, his spirit, soul, body inverted, the realm of glory that he was clothed with was removed, his bandwidth of revelation was removed, so he could not see into the things which were a higher bandwidth, which is the higher bandwidth of the realms of heaven, before he was. Now, everything about God's kingdom has a beginning and an end, the Alpha and the Omega, and the end and the beginning are always the same. It's always circular. Hebrew thinking is always circular, not linear in Greek thinking. So linear is in layers, and 1, 2, 3, whereas it's not like that. The heavenly realms are dimensions, which are not layers. They are dimensions and realms of authority. Yeah.
Is that what he was on about then in Clayton, when he said there isn't a first, second, and third?
Yeah.
Heaven, so there isn't layers?
Yeah, that's what it basically is. It's not layers.
It's up and down. And
it's been an easier way to just, in simplicity, to express it that way.
Yeah.
But there's fresh revelation that we need to bring.
Yeah.
And so I've been to various places, which now I understand where I've been. Yeah. I can give you revelation of it.
Right.
Before, I had been to places, but I didn't have necessary revelation of where they were. But now I do. I can actually share them and enable you to go there.
Yeah, that,
did. God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, fulfilling Adam's mandate to rule in the spirit realm and influence the natural realm to see God's glory fill the earth. Now, when the children of Israel came up to the promised land, they saw that the land was occupied by the Nephilim. Nephilim were races of giants. They became races of giants through overshadowing of angelic DNA mixed with human DNA to perform, bring giants. They were the Canaanites and the Philistines. Same thing, just different names. They followed on right up to the time of David, when David finally killed the last giant, when his men killed all the last giants. I'll talk to you what happened to them in a minute. Now, therefore, we need to experience this and to equip others to enter into this and live in their inheritance. Our inheritance is not just on earth, it's in heaven. So, but we have to have experience of it to bring other people into it. And that's what God is doing right now. He's opening it up so that we can have access, we can gain that access, and there we can actually move things forward. So it's earthly and heavenly. On earth, as it is in heaven. How can we bring on earth unless we know what's in heaven? We need to understand the realms of the heavenly realms. Because it's not just about heaven. There are realms of heaven which we have understanding of. And we have to rule in those heavenly realms. We rule in those heavenly realms in areas of authority. And I'll give you some examples of that. And then we bring the rule that we have there down here. So before we can go this way, we have to go up and down. When Jesus talked about having an open heaven, he said, you will see the angels ascending up and down. That's a picture of what happened. Angelic ministries, we'll look into that another time. We have to go up and down before we can go to and fro. Trouble is, we try to go to and fro and bring heaven down from here. We have to go to the heavens and then bring that down to go to and fro. That's why we get beaten up so much, because we're trying to come against the spiritual forces of wickedness and darkness with the authority that we have here. Well, we have earthly authority here. We need to bring heavenly authority so that we can outwork that and manifest that, which is a key. There are cities and giants and mountains in the heavenly realms. Of course, in the promised land, there were those as well, cities, giants and mountains. The giants were always in the mountain region, because that's where they rule, a mountain, higher authority. So those representations of cities and giants and mountains, they are in the heavenly realms. And we need to be able to access them. Now, Zechariah 3:6 is a key scripture for understanding this process. It says, the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, now this is not the same Joshua, but it's interesting that the name Joshua is used here. So Joshua went and inherited the promised land. This is a high priest called Joshua, who was being called into the heavenly realms. So thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. Whenever it says the Lord of hosts, that's what it's talking about. This is angelic. The angel armies are armies of angels, and we saw some of that, the seven realms of them as a canopy over the throne in the heavens. But that, because we are a throne of God on the inside of us, they're a canopy over us and over our lives. And I'll bring some more stuff about that at some stage. It says, if you walk in my ways, and if you perform my laws, those are the things we do here in this realm. First 40 verses in Psalm 119 talks about the ways of God, his precepts, his ordinances, his commandments, his testimonies, his wonders. Whole lot of revelation there about the ways of God, who he is, his character, his nature, being outworked on earth. And in doing that, we establish precedent. We establish something by us fulfilling the ways of God. Then it's as if you perform my laws. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are not laws, they're a marriage covenant. And we'll look at that another time. But then you will also govern my house. So if you perform my laws here, and this is not like under the law, this is following the principles of the kingdom. These are manifestations of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So if we do that, if we perform and live by those laws, and I'll tell you what 12 of them are, because I only know what 12 of them are, but there are 24 overall, and I know 12, and I'll show you later on. So then you will also govern my house. Now, governing the house, ruling the house, is done in the heavenly realm, because that's a realm of the dimension in the heavens. Okay? So governing the house of God is done from the heavenly realm. We are also a house, a dwelling place for God. So we can govern and rule from that place in the heavenly realms. Then you also have charge of my courts. Another realm in the heavens is the courts of God, the jurisdiction of God's kingdom manifested in the heavens, outworked here on earth. I've been to some of those courts. I now realize there are other areas of those courts in which the things of the kingdom is a different realm and a different level. But if you walk these things out, then it also says, you will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. He was talking about standing on the throne of the kingdom in heaven. So the high priest had access to come into the very presence of God, the glory of God's presence. If we are able to govern the house and take charge of the courts, we will have access to stand in the presence of God. And in his personal presence, not just the presence. It's the difference between smoke and fire. You know there's a fire because you see the smoke. The presence of God that we experience in worship here is like the smoke of his presence. But beyond that, there is his person, which is the fire. We have to enter into the fire to see him. But we have access to that if we go through the right way. Now, I'm going to briefly put this together, so this is not formed, okay, but I want to give you an idea of this, because this gives you some of what Ian Clayton scribbled on a sheet a little bit more clearly, okay. Now, all these here are layers, are realms. They're realms of the kingdom of heaven. Down here, this is the earthly realms beneath, and the earthly realms, okay. This is a timeline, and I actually went on that timeline for the first time the other day and went back and saw them building the pyramids. And I've always wanted to do that because I've seen the pyramids about five times. And wish I'd seen them 8 times. And I've always knew how they were built is not how it says they were built. And I went back and saw it. I thought, God, why do you show me that on the timeline? Because there is something about the shape of a pyramid that represents authority on the scroll for us as a church. Within that pyramid that they built, there's a secret chamber, which I saw them building, which was a trading floor for demonic activity of the Nephilim spirit. In our understanding, on our scroll, on the top of the mountain that we have, there is a pyramid which represents the ministry in the church which will manifest the wisdom and thing of God. And I'll bring that as another time. But it was great to go back on that timeline and actually see something happen as it happened. And the revelation came of it. Over here, these are other dimensions, okay? One of those dimensions I've been to, it's a dimension where all those who were aborted and miscarried children are growing and being taught by angels right now,
wow.
Which is awesome. And I went there and I saw my two grandchildren. One was miscarried as a twin, and the other one miscarried individually. And the inclaims give me some revelation now that we have to go back and deal with the abandonment that one of the grandchildren faces. Because she's very clingy, whatever, because she feels abandoned. You have to go in the courts of heaven and deal with that abandonment, which we're going to do on her behalf for it. Okay, so these are other dimensions which are, again, out there. Okay, so this is the first dimension, Kingdom of Earth. Kingdom of Earth, where we meet God's presence. Okay, then there's the atmosphere of the Earth. The atmosphere of the Earth is where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's where a lot of the battles go on, in the atmosphere of the Earth. It's actually a dimension and a realm of authority within the atmosphere of the Earth. Then there's the Kingdom of God. This is a place of God's government. Okay? That also has atmospheres. It also has places where the enemy can have access. So that's where our mountains are. We have five mountains as a church. And I'm occupying two of those mountains right now, and there are three others that other people need to occupy. On there, there's thrones, and on those three of those thrones are powers, giants, that we have to get rid of. I killed my first giant the other day, and when I went to the fifth mountain, and actually, I wrestled all night, and then in the morning, when I got up early in the morning, I had revelation, and I went with the sword that God had given me, and I cut his head off. And Ian then Clayton told me to go back and cut his belly open and get the scroll and all the things that are in there which actually belong to us. And I'll share what that is another time. But all those things are in that area. That area is a dimension, a realm of authority that we need to access. Then there's the realm of the Kingdom of Heaven. That's God's domain. It's another area. There are more mountains there. And there are other thrones. That is the throne that Ian Clayton, when he prayed for me and Deb, actually that's the throne that I'm occupying. I have a crown, a cloak, a scepter and a sword to occupy in apostolic authority in that realm. So that's where I intend to go before meetings and things like that, to start to exert authority. Because we bring that authority down. But there's a load more of that. Then there's heaven, God's abode. That's where the tabernacle is, the throne of heaven. Lots of other things are in that realm, and where the timeline comes from. You have to access that realm to go on that timeline. Because those are the basic realms there that we generally see. Most of you don't see, but we can, we will. Then there's the heaven of heavens, perfection, and eternity. And notice all these are connected. So this realm, Kingdom of Earth, was created in the first creation to overlap with heaven. And eventually, as it was in the beginning, God walking in the garden in the heavens, which is God's garden heavens, as it is in the beginning, so it will be in the end, when God comes to dwell with man again. So it comes full circle. This side, if you take half of this, it's like the menorah, you know, the candlestick. That the other side of it is the reflection of it, which brings the circle, and there's more revelation of that. But then down here, in our atmosphere, there's seven realms. Each of these layers of the kingdom, seven is the realm of perfection. Okay? The enemy has access to six of those realms. The seventh of them, which is the atmosphere of heaven, we are contending with. That's why we have to contend with the enemy, our wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in the heavenly realms. And all those areas, there are levels of authority. They're not layers, they're realms of authority. The giants occupy a realm of authority in here, in this area. Dragons operate in that area. I've not seen a dragon yet. not gone to there in to deal with that. I'm just going there to deal with what's below it. But there are other areas. Then there's layers under the earth. I've been to one of those layers, which is Tartarus, so I can tell you about it. That's where the 200 watcher angels that fell before the flood, they are held in bondage. That's where they're chained in the abyss. But there are other layers within the earth, which are not layers like the mantle and magma and that thing. They're spiritual authority layers within the earth, which we have to get more revelation of, okay? So this is where you rule the house. That's where you judge the courts. That's where you have access to stand in the presence of God. Okay? Does that sort of make it a little bit clearer? So we... But this is where we have to have our access here into the heavenly realm. The veil is open, so we can walk through that veil, which is Jesus' flesh, into those realms in the spirit, and we can live there. We can live there in the spirit. So right now, you can access that in the spirit. You can also access it spirit and soul. You can do that in the night watches when your body is asleep. And I want to get Ian Clayton to teach me more about that, but we'll do that sometime. But you see, there's a whole dimension here that the promised land is not just about earth. It's bringing heaven to earth, and we have to rule in the heavens to bring that to earth and manifest it. There's a whole dimension there we need to come into. Alright, so now we're going to move on. Let's look at these Joshua generation things quickly from that perspective. Number 21. Joshua generation will encourage people to hear the word of God directly. Joshua 3:9. Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of your God. We have to see that we need to individually come and hear the words of God. We need to access the realms where we can come before the throne, come before the courts, rule the house. We have to learn to do that ourselves. You know, I'm only doing it to bring you into it. It's not for me to just sit there and do that myself. It's so I can help other people come into it. Now, Ian Clayton's role is predominantly that through the world. I have a role which goes beyond that into bringing signs and wonders and miracles and healing. So I pursue that as part of my call. You need to find also the scrolls of your life that your calls are on, because that is separate from these things. You still have to fulfill the scroll of your destiny that you can find in the heavenly realms, get it into your heart, and then start reading it and outworking it. And there's a whole load of stuff on that. Joshua generation, number 22, will be honored and respected by the next generation. There is going to be the culture of honor. See, Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. We have to receive people in their gift and callings to receive the rewards in our own lives and to outwork them. And there's a culture of honor which we have to develop in the church. Every single one of you have gifts and calls. You have your own scroll and destiny, your visions that we have to be there to facilitate and to help come to fulfillment. That's honoring one another, receiving each other, and seeing that outworked and manifested. So God wants to see visions and dreams fulfilled. Joshua 4:14 says, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him, just as they had revered Moses. Now that's just representative. Joshua was representative of a generation. It's not just a person. We're all equal in the purposes of God. There are different roles we have, but we're equal. We need to receive each other in who we are, our personal identity within God. Because that's when it gets released. 23, Joshua generation will be free, will free the next generation from the reproach and the effects of past generations into new revelation of past activities. What I mean by that is there are things that we've done and things that we have within God's kingdom and in the church which we've done from the revelation level that we have. Now it's going up to different levels. So for instance, here they took the Passover and they reinstituted circumcision, which is they didn't do in the wilderness. And now they've come across the Jordan and they came to a place called Gilgal, in which they were to consecrate themselves and prepare themselves for what God was going to do. And that means the reproach of the past is going to be wiped away. That's where the stumbling blocks are going to be removed. This purifying and refining place is going to take place, so that we can come into new revelation, and even the things we've done already will have greater revelation attached to them, that we will come into them in their fullness. And God is going to do that. In Joshua 5:8, there it talks about circumcision and that stuff. Okay. Joshua generation will operate with the angelic realm. Now this is really important, because again, this is something that causes a lot of problems in the world. Well, why do we need angels when we've got the Holy Spirit? Because they have totally different functions. Angels have functions. You know, last week on, I think it was Wednesday night, it's like when Ian Clayton had the anointing oil of frankincense and he dropped it on the floor, this whole aroma started to fill the back of the room. And it was like, I was like, whoa. But it took me into the heavens. So as I was breathing this aroma in, it took me right into the heavenly realms, and I saw this canopy, and I saw from the throne of God angels being released. These angels were big, and they had big wings, and their feathers were actual razor sharp weapons. And I was like, ooh, okay. And I knew who they were instinctively, but I thought, I'll go and check it out. So I said to Ian Clayton, this is what I've seen. He said, yeah, they're the hunter angels. The hunter angels go out to bring in a harvest. They remove the weapons are about removing blindness and cutting blindness off people's eyes to stop them coming into the truth. And they're starting to be released. They're different from the gathering angels and the other angels that we see. But Joshua, it says in 5:13, it came about that Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked. When he says lifted up his eyes, it always means he's going into the heavens. We get to understand the Greek thinking here. We just say, well, he's doing this. Actually, it's not meaning that. The actual Hebrew understanding of lifting your eyes, Moses sat in the tent and lifted his eyes the same way. Joshua, Abraham, did the same thing when he sat in his tent, and then he lifted his eyes and he saw three men approaching. He knew who they were. Were they walking to him on the earth? No. And this is part of our problem. We see it from one dimension, when actually the stories in the Old Testament are representing something of a whole different realm. This is when he lifted up his eyes and he looked, behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? So it was an angel, the angel of the Lord. In fact, he was the captain of the host of the Lord. So he was a pretty serious dude. It's like he had power. And he's coming and he's giving revelation. And he says, this is holy ground. And it's like the whole sense of the presence of God came. Of course, from that, there came strategy, heavenly strategy. That's why the angels are really important. When we praise God, our high praise releases some of those angels. If you read Psalm 149, I'm going off a rabbit trail, aren't I? Psalm 149, it says, basically, our high praise deals with the fetters of chains and change things up. And also, it executes vengeance of judgments that are written. We don't fight against flesh and blood. That's not where we fight and where we wrestle. So when we execute vengeance, the representative is on the power of the enemy. We deal with the enemy with judgments which are already written. There's a whole dimension of that. Number 25, Joshua's generation will hear God's strategy for warfare. Joshua 6:2, the Lord said to Joshua, see. Again, what was he saying? See, I have given Jericho into your hand. Well, how could he see that? It hadn't happened yet, has he? So why was he seeing it? He was seeing it in the realms of heaven. God was showing him what was going to take place. Hence, Jesus could see what the Father was doing, was able to do it. Because he could see into that realm of before. Holy Spirit's there to disclose things which are to come before they actually happen. Because we see into a different realm. It says, see, I've given into your hand with its king and its warriors. Now, we can see that on the natural realm. So the city is there in the place or in the natural realm. But above that, in the rulership of the heavens, there are also mountains and rulers and kings, which we have to deal with to enable us to deal with it in this realm. We've always tried to fight in this realm, and we're struggling to overcome in this realm because we're not actually have done it in that realm first. You have to see what the Father's doing to bring what he's doing to earth. That's how Jesus operated all the time. That's why he lived in the dual realms of heaven and earth. Constantly, through the relationship with the Father, in connection with before. of the realms of heaven. And there was obviously this strategy, what they need to do. And it's very clear, and this sometimes this is the strategies that we'll get. Basically what he's saying, march around the city, all the men of war circle in the city once, shall do so for 6 days. Also the priests shall carry the 7 trumpets, the ram's horns, before the ark. Those are all symbolic. When they had those ram's horns, they had them engraved with the names of God. All 7 priests shall carry those things. And they're obviously given these instructions as a strategy. So he saw that in the heavenly realm, and then they outworked it in this realm. We need to be able to do that every day, all the time. Be able to see what the Father's doing to outwork it. We need to live in the dual realms and be connected with heaven and earth. 26. Joshua generation will start to be known and get public attention. It's like if you go back 6 months before March, it's like no one knew we were even here, most people. Actually, now there's a whole lot of public attention, a whole lot of people around the country who are looking for a relationship with us, looking for us to teach them some of the things. Because Ian Clayton will go around telling other people that as well, because he wants people here to be able to help people in this nation come into those things, because he's in New Zealand. You know, we've got to have people in our nation to be able to do it. It's like Joshua 6:27, the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was in all the land. Now, ultimately, that's not about our fame. It's about God's fame. We're here to make God known in all the land, but we will have public recognition, and that will bring public battles. Because some of the stuff that we are going to be bringing, just like Ian Clayton did, will cause all sorts of stuff in the spiritual realm and in this realm, where all sorts of criticism and all sorts of accusations will be made on some of the things that we're doing. Because we're doing things in a different realm. And so a lot of people don't understand yet. So there will be a whole lot of stuff saying that we're doing things by New Age power and by occult power and all that stuff. We're going to be ready for that. We know ourselves, we need to know our identity and be clear on what we're doing, but it will get public attention, and therefore we've got to be ready for that. And make sure there is absolutely no pride in what we do. We need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before God. It's about what God is doing, not about what we are. It's all about Him, but He uses us to do it. Therefore, we have to rule our house and ensure in our house we deal with the stuff in our own lives. Our need for affirmation and recognition of men, we have to deal with, because we need the recognition, affirmation of God. And when you receive affirmation from people, another rabbit trail, but when you receive affirmation from people, receive it, thank you. And then go and trade with it in the trading floors of heaven. You exchange that affirmation and give it on to Christ. Throw your crowns before Him. Not fantastic what Nigel was singing this morning. Casting our crowns before the Lord. That's what we do when we trade. We take the things that we've received and we trade them, we exchange them, so we can exchange and trade on the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus washes our sin. We can take our sin and exchange and trade on the blood of Jesus. The cross we can exchange and trade on. A whole different thing. We go on before I go any further. Joshua 20, number 7. Joshua's generation will take radical stand against sin. This is something which is really going to come forth in the realm of the church. Sin is going to get exposed because the whole angelic realm are going to start being active in it. It's like Joshua 7:13, rise up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Thus the Lord God of Israel has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you've removed these things under the ban from your midst. There is stuff that in our lives that stops us standing in victory against the enemy. We have to see those things removed. That's part of the gathering angel to removing stumbling blocks. Who are going to deal with purification and refining the heat of God's furnace getting turned up to purify us, to get all the impurities of the gold to the surface, so that when they're skimmed off, the surface of gold is an absolute mirror, which is reflecting the glory of God. That's what our lives are there to do, to reflect what is in heaven on earth. But as with Ananias and Sapphira in the early church, it was an example of what happened when people lied to the Holy Spirit. They dropped down dead. When we start entering into these realms, the levels of responsibility go up. With more responsibility, yes, comes more authority and power, but also the level of purity and holiness needed is increased. Therefore, we need to be ready. So in verse 15 it says, it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire. Now, we're not going to burn you with fire, but you're going to enter the fire of God's presence to see this stuff burned. If you want to, if you choose not to, the consequences are yours. Right? I'm giving it out. I'm giving you the truth. It's like, you've got to handle it now. I'm no longer responsible. I've given it to you. I'm responsible for me. For me to enter into the fire of God. Deal with everything in me. We do not want to transgress the covenant of God's things for us. Number 28. Joshua's generation will be careful to always seek counsel from God before making decisions. We must not do things here on earth going to and fro without having first been in heaven. Dangerous to do it. Joshua 9:14, men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of God. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. They made a covenant with the people who tricked them, because Joshua did not lift up his eyes into the heaven to see. And it was a problem for the children of Israel right through that this covenant was made with the Gibeonites, who were actually people of the land. They said they'd come from a long distance, and they weren't from that land. They were people from the land. Therefore, they made a covenant with the enemy because they didn't seek God first. Be really careful what we do, not making decisions based on what looks right or what we might see with our natural eyes. We need to see in the realm of the Spirit to make those decisions that will keep us safe. Number 29, Joshua's generation will put the enemy under their feet. Now, the enemy here again is not talking about people. We don't stick people under our feet. We don't tread on people. We don't tread people down. We honor and we respect people, but we deal with the enemy. In people, we cast out demons. We demolish strongholds. We operate in the power to bring people from captivity into freedom. But we also deal with what is above that. So we have to put the enemy under our feet. Therefore, we need to see the giants defeated, the dragons defeated, and all the other principalities and powers and rulers in those dark realms defeated. This is what this is talking about. Obviously, here it was representing what they did when they took the kings. See, when they brought these kings out to Joshua, kings represent rulers. Those are some of the dragons and the giants. Come near, put your feet on the necks of the kings so that you can't. Came near, they put their feet on the necks of the kings. Joshua said to them, "Do not fear or be dismayed, be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight." God has given us through the power and victory of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, what happened? He nailed all our sin to the cross. Then he made a public triumph of all the demonic realms and said, "They are no longer in authority. You have authority over them." We obviously haven't really taken hold of that authority properly. Now we are. So we have got to rule over and put the kings in those realms under our feet, which really means that we have to take authority over them and deal with them. Joshua's generation will operate in great signs and wonders. Joshua 10:12, great story. Again, where they're fighting with the Amorites, and Joshua speaks and the whole sun stops still for a day. Supernatural event where the whole time stopped. Gave them another day, didn't, because obviously when it went into night, the enemy could have fleen or could have caused problems, so it kept the day going for a whole day. You read that story there, and it says there, the sun stood still, the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves on their enemies. Is not this book written in the book of Jasher? The book of Jasher was thrown out of the canon of scripture by the Nicene Council, who were operating under the authority of Constantine, who did not want any of this stuff of rulership. He wanted to rule through, as we saw, through pastors in the church that he paid. That's all the structure that we have to see dismantled. Again, get the CD. We did a whole session on that. But there are a whole lot of books which aren't in our canon because the enemy did not want them there. They're still valid. The Book of Enoch. They tried to get the Book of Peter 1 and 2 thrown out, Jude thrown out, because it talks about into these realms, about authority and power in the heavens. Number 31, Joshua's generation will be ruthless in pursuit and eradication of the enemy. Again, not flesh and blood, We must not compromise with dealing with these spiritual forces. We have to be ruthless. It says in verse 12 of chapter 11, Joshua captured all the cities of these kings and all their kings. He struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them. No compromise. You can't live alongside them. You can't occupy the same thrones of them. You have to destroy them. This is a picture of what they did in the natural realm, what we need to do in the spiritual realm, which then gives us authority in this realm to rule. Whole load of stuff there. In number 32, Joshua's generation will ensure that nothing God commands will be unfinished. We need to do the things that God's command. And we need to be faithful and we need to be perseverant. Joshua 11:15. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses' servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. So Joshua did. He left nothing undone. We need to fulfill the word of God. We need to take the word of God, the counsels of God, the law of God, and fulfill it. Therefore, we need to know it. Therefore, you need to read it. Then you need to go into heaven and get the revelation of it and then bring it back down here. Number 33, Joshua's generation will bring the next generation into their full inheritance and rest. Joshua 11:23. Joshua took the whole land, so he occupied everything that was promised. Okay, the whole land. Now we know that was just should have been the starting point then to go and possess the rest of the world, because Abraham was given the world as his inheritance, not just a piece of land in Palestine. He was to go from that place to fill the world. They never did it. So the kingdom was taken from them and given to a people who will do that. Jesus said, I've got all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. Disciple the nations. That's the same authority in heaven and on earth. That's where we get the authority in heaven to go and outwork it on earth. And then he brought them in the land from rest, from war. And there's a whole message and teaching about rest. And one of my face-to-face encounters with Jesus took me and showed me the seat of rest, what it is to come from a position of rest. Taught me from Matthew 11 and Hebrews 4 about what it was to be in rest. Now, I will teach that in some stage, because it's a really important thing. Everything we do must come from rest. A place of peace and wholeness and rest, not striving or struggling, not being weary and heavy laden in our own strength. Everything needs to come out of rest, doing things in the strength of God, flowing out of that strength. And the two things that it says there about learn from me, we have to take the yoke of Jesus on us. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. The place of rest is a place of total surrender, where we know who we are, which is our gentleness, is the word for a stallion who was under complete control, a wild stallion who was broken and had a bit in its mouth. Therefore, whoever rode it was able to lead it. That's like us knowing that we are a wild stallion in power and authority, but we're totally submitted, like Jesus was, to the Father. I only do the will of him who sent me. Having humility is not false humility, which is pride, actually, which says, oh, I'm no good, I've got nothing to offer, I'm just... It's actually saying, I'm a son of God. I'm seated in the heavenly places. I have authority and power. But it's totally surrendering that total power only to do what we see the Father doing. So it's complete surrender, therefore you can come from a place of rest. And again, there's a whole teaching around that. It's really good. 34, Joshua's generation will have supernatural strength for war. Like Caleb, who at 85 years of age, who's still going in and out to fight. Now, this is not about age. It's about what we are and who we are in the spirit. In the spirit, no matter what our physical age is, we can have rulership and overcome. Joshua 14:11, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses when he sent me. He went into the promised land to spy it out. Still as strong. So my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Where was he going out and coming in from, do you think? Heavenly realms. That's where his strength for war came from. He was able to go out and come in. And then he was able to go to and fro. Where did he go? This is what I like about Caleb. Now then, give me this hill country. Who do you think were in the hills? On the mountains, giants. That was his whole thing. He was going to take the land and rid it of the giants. He wasn't going to sit, oh, well, I'll have the easy bit where there's no people to conquer. We're going to be a Joshua generation. We've got to go and take the giants.
Yeah.
We've got to go and destroy them. Then it says that, which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on the day that the Anakim were present. The Anakim were one of the races of giants, with great fortified cities, temples, and things in the heavenly realms. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. Of course he was. And I'll drive them out, as the Lord has spoken. This was what Caleb's spirit was. Caleb and Joshua, I said last week, they had a different spirit on them. This was this spirit that was not a spirit as in the Holy Spirit. It's just like an attitude. Like, I'm going to rule. I have authority and power. This is who I am. I have a sword which enables me to destroy and cut the heads off giants. All of us need to be giant slayers. Because you've all got giants that are occupying your thrones in the heavenly realms. Because you ain't been there yet and you haven't dispossessed them. Because you have to dispossess the enemy and possess your inheritance. That's where you do it. Then you outwork your inheritance here. Joshua generation number 35 will be giant killers. We have to do that as forerunners. We have to take our place and authority. You can't give this as theory. I can do this now and talk about giant killing, which I hadn't talked to before because I've gone and killed one. I'm not going to talk to you about theory. I'm only going to talk to you about things that I've done, places I've been, so that you can go too. And hopefully you'll go to places that I haven't been and you can testify to it, and then I'll be able to go. Because that's what happens. Once you've been there, you start to testify the word of our testimony is what we overcome by, and it enables us to come out. Joshua and Caleb there in 15:14, Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, and the children of Anak. They're all giants. There are nine races of giants. Okay, races of giants were formed by the Nephilim, from the angels. When they died, what happened to them? Because they weren't human spirits. What happened was they went into the heavenly realms and occupied those mountains. So those that were on earth, when they died, their spirits went into the heavenly realms. The thrones in the kingdom of God are where the heavenly realms are. Dragons, where do dragons come from? Satan overshadowed Eve. That's what the fruit was about, the overshadowing. Wasn't like eating a fruit of an apple off a tree. It was an overshadowing where he mixed DNA. Cain and Abel, who were twins, one had Satan as his father, the other one had Adam. That's why Cain killed Abel, to stop the line of Adam going forward. So the serpent line, because Satan was a serpent, he was reptilian, could be in the earth. The line of Cain was serpent DNA. Because only DNA can occupy the realms of heaven, can inherit. So Satan needed DNA. Where do you think dinosaurs came from in the first creation? Satan was trying to produce DNA. When those dinosaurs died, where do you think their spirits went? Dragons in the heavenly realms. I know this is sort of a bit out there for you, but because I've seen it, I can tell you about it. That's why we need to get rid of the dragons. Dragons occupy our inheritance, cut off their head, you make sure you cut off their tail, and you split their belly open and you get out the stuff. Our scrolls and all the good stuff that's stored up there for us. The inheritance and the provision of God, that's what they do. They stop our provision coming through. We need to get that provision. Number 36, Joshua generation will bring revelation that wherever the next generation place their feet, they will possess. That's the world. The heavenlies are their inheritance and their destiny. It said, you know, Moses swore, saying, surely the land on which your feet have trodden will be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now for us, as we know, that's not just a piece of land, it's the whole world, and it's not just this creation, you think. It says the whole of creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When you take your position as sons in the heavenly realms, when you go from being occupying the realm of heaven to the kingdom of heaven to the heaven and beyond, you will then start to have your inheritance. And that is for the whole creation. Hence, you can go into that creation. You can see the galaxies and the other places where you're supposed to create, because you're supposed to do the works that Jesus did. Who created the galaxies? and the stars. Jesus did. You can go and do the same, and you will, you know, in eternity, but you can actually go and do it now if you access some of these realms and you start accessing the courts. The courts of heaven issue papers, if you like, of authority for you to act. And sometimes you need to go there and you need to get authority to act here on earth. Some of the things we have to do, we can't just do without getting heavenly authority. And there's a whole different dimension into that. But Romans 4:13, the promise to Abraham or to his descendants and to the seed there, which is Christ, he would be the heir to the whole world. And that's for us, the whole of creation. Jesus took all authority in heavens and on earth. Number 38, almost finished. Joshua's generation will warn the next generation about the dangers of compromise and going backwards. It's like there is a real danger if you walk away from this stuff. And Clayton talked about it. That's the mark of the beast 666. When you're walking with God and when you go away, spirit of Antichrist with those who walk with the church, and they went out and they started sowing false teaching and false revelation. It's a real dangerous thing. And we need to be very careful about that. And I was teaching about that as well. Revelation there, number 39, Joshua generation will charge the next generation to never stop waging war till the kingdom fills the earth and the glory of God fills the earth as the waters cover the sea and Jesus returns. We can't compromise or stop. Joshua 1:1 says, came about after the death of Joshua, the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord. They were now going to inquire of the Lord. They didn't say, all right, Joshua's gone, we'll do our own thing. So the next generation have to be able to inquire of the Lord. Who will go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? The war was still ongoing because the Canaanites or the spirits of those things were still in the rest of the world. They were now, they'd already taken all the land. It says earlier, didn't it? Joshua gave them the whole land. So why were they needing to go and fight anybody else? Because they needed to go and take it to the world. Obviously they didn't. They stopped short. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government. It's going to increase and increase. Isaiah, there, I think I've got those scriptures. Isaiah 2:2, come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord. The mountain, place of authority, the house of the Lord, all in those heavenly realms. Then it's outworked in this realm, where all the hills, all the other authorities in the world will start streaming to the church, because we're living in the fullness of our sonship. Where we start to radiate the glory of God, where we start to manifest light, where we start to live in creative light rather than created light, where we can overcome the laws in this created world with the kingdom of the creative. Awesome stuff coming. We've got to be prepared. And when you start walking into it, because there will be no end to the increase of this government and peace, to establish it and to uphold it with righteousness, justice. What are justice, righteousness? The foundations of the throne of heaven. Foundations of the throne of the kingdom, righteousness and justice. It's going to be accomplished. Okay, last one. Joshua generation will set a clear choice before the next generation. You're going to choose the past or the future. So much stuff we can stay in, which is good, but the good is often the enemy of the best. We don't want to stay still. We don't want to take possession of what God has given us and stay there. Our influence has to increase and go out, because that's the nature of God. He wants to fill the earth with the glory of God. Whole lot of scriptures there which you can read. I'll leave the 12 laws maybe till next week. Right? But it's the first thing. Joshua was 110 years old when he died. Having fulfilled his destiny, there is a time for all of us who are called to this purpose to be raised up and to release that next generation to fulfill our destiny. Joshua did it. He wants us to do it. To fulfill our destiny, being that Joshua generation, or if you're the Jesus generation, to fulfill that in seeing Jesus return. Good stuff. All right? Amen. Yeah.
I can't copy a password from the site.